faith than just by what we say. And today we're going to take a look at the salvation that God has promised through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel is simple enough for a child to understand, yet it's deep enough for us to ponder for all eternity. And sometimes the message of Christ has gotten complicated by the teaching of man and by religion. And I just want to let you know that today I'm asking God to do some specific things. As a result of our time together, it is my prayer that we will have renewed clarity. We will see through the eyes of faith what God's word tells us in these following areas. That you will leave today and you will know according to the scriptures whether you are saved, and that you would have the assurance of that salvation today. And if not, that today would be the day of salvation for you. Secondly, I want you and I want everyone that comes under the influence of Concordia Wesleyan Church to know how to communicate from the Bible how a person knows they are saved. So you'll want to take the notes, and you might want to put some little notations in your Bible as we walk through some of these scriptures. That you will learn to thank God every day and rejoice for his mercy that he's lavished upon you in love. And lastly, that you will experience a deep relationship with Christ and walk in obedience to him. I believe that some of you today have been accepted Christ as your Savior, but you've never followed the Lord in obedience through baptism. And you will take your connection card and you'll say, I want to be baptized. And we'll talk about that briefly in just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And we have up on the screen some other scriptures here out of that same passage of scripture. So let's go ahead and go to verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Either way, Christ's love controls us, since we believe that Christ died for all." Do you believe that? Christ died for whosoever, that he died for all. Notice what it says here. "We also believe that we have died to our old life." That not only are we believing in the death of Christ, but there is something happened when we placed our faith in Christ. Something within us died, and it's what the Bible talks about, the old nature or our old life. Let's go on to the next verse. "He died for everyone so that we who receive his new life will no longer," notice this, "that we no longer live for them ourselves. Instead, we will live for Christ who died and was raised for them." This is what saved people do. Go to the next verse. "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view." What is that? Evaluating others from a human point of view is living by sight. Okay? We're going to live by faith. We're going to stop evaluating others. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Next verse. This is a very familiar verse. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ," in other words, if you have been saved, you have become a new person. The old life is gone, it is dead, and the new life has begun. Verse 18. "All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him." See, God sent Jesus, the Father sent the Son on a rescue mission, and God is going to work out that mission through saved people of reconciling them back to God. Verse 19. "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Next verse. "So we are Christ's ambassadors and God is making appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." And the last verse, verse 21, says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." I'd like to just stay there and talk about that verse. It's one of my most favorite verses. It's incredible that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, for my sin and for yours, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, I'm going to talk to you about what God does when he saves us, but in order to do that, we have to know from the Bible, not from a church, not from our actions, not convincing ourselves, that we are saved. And so you have in your sermon notes the plan of salvation. This comes from the Bible. Pastor David didn't come up with this. This is from the Bible, and I want you to see how you know. Because if you are not saved, nothing else that you do matters in the church. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how much you give to the church, how many good things you do, how moral a person that you think that you are, nothing else matters. Missions doesn't matter. You know, doing good to the poor doesn't matter if you aren't saved. And so let's settle that. And I'm gonna walk fairly quickly through here because we've got some other things in the message. And just so, because I know that we're so time-oriented, normally today we would have communion, but because of the events, we're not going to participate in communion. We're not going to observe that today. And so what I want you to do is I want you to purposely avoid the distractions as we walk down through here, because this is a teaching that will revolutionize your walk with Christ. When you learn to walk by, to live by faith and not by sight, and understand and receive the salvation that God has for you and what it and what it means. I got a little carried away and I forgot here, because here's what I know. I hope to communicate the message of salvation clearly with boldness and conviction. And I believe that there are some today who are truly saved, but you've lived the rest of that, your time with God, wondering if you're really accepted and whether your sin or that particular sin has really been covered, because it has haunted you throughout your life. And I want to share with you from God's word what he says about you. There are others of you who have prayed a prayer long ago, and you're counting on that prayer that you prayed to be your salvation today, although you know you are living in ongoing sin. And you think that that prayer is covering the way that you're living your life today. And I want you to know that you aren't saved by saying a prayer. You are saved by receiving the life of Christ in your life and by giving your life to him in exchange. So let's walk through that, the plan of salvation. It's in your notes here. And again, you might want to take your Bible and write, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." So God sent his only Son, and we just went through this last month, where he was God in the flesh. He was without sin. As God, he could not sin, and as a man, Jesus would not sin. And so he became the perfect sacrifice, the perfect plan for God to work for us. But see, we have a problem. The problem is sin. The Bible tells us that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Death is separation from God. Our spirit, when we sin, is separated from God. And so our problem is that God is a holy God. He cannot look upon sin. God wants relationship with us. But how is he going to have relationship with us while we are all sinners? And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, because Jesus was going to come and save his people from their sins. So God's only solution was Jesus Christ. Not only is the wages of sin death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God showed and demonstrated his love toward us, Romans 5:8 says, that while we were still sinners, we couldn't clean up ourselves. God didn't say, "Put your best foot forward." While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus said it this way in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." What Jesus is saying is, it's not being religious. It's not any other religion will lead you to the same place. Listen, if you're going to get to the Father, you're going to have to come through Jesus Christ, the Son. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, got up and he said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which all men must be saved." Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. So what is our response? How do we receive God's gift? And the Bible tells us basically four things that happen in our life. One, we need to admit that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. Now, most everyone admits that they've done wrong things. The Bible calls that sin. You've sinned in words, and you've sinned in thoughts, you've sinned in actions. Okay, admit that I am sinner. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one, and I need God's forgiveness to be in a right relationship. So the first thing is admitting, agreeing with God that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Secondly, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and he rose again. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, Paul was writing, early creed of the church, what I received, I wrote of to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. This was God's plan. So you admit, you believe that God sent his son Jesus, that Jesus, when he died on the cross, died not only for the sins of the world, but he died for your sins. And now, here's the next thing. You confess my sin to God and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Here's what the scripture says. If you openly declare or openly confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? You'll be saved. That's an act of God upon your life. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. 1 John 1:9 says it this way, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you determine to obey and honor God in your daily life. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my follower, let them say no to self. Let them deny their self. Let them put aside their selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you are saved by God, you are following Jesus. And it shows in your life. Now listen, you don't follow Jesus to get saved, but saved people follow Jesus. John wrote it this way in 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God live their lives as Jesus lived. He died. 2 Corinthians 5:15, we read this earlier. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, notice this, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Does it mean that you are perfect? No. But does that mean that your heart is set to pleasing and honoring God? Absolutely. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, we do all for the glory of God. So when the Bible talks about saved, it uses a word that is in the original language called sozo, but it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to heal, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to deliver from the penalties of judgment, and I want you to notice this part, to make one whole, complete in spirit, soul, and body. Right now, I want you, well, let's fill in this first blank. Here's what the Bible teaches if you're saved by God, that to be saved by God is to experience eternal life. God is eternal. In the book of Revelation, it refers to God, and Jesus says in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and is to come. God is not bound by time. He preexisted before this present time, and he will, after when time ends here on earth, he will go. In fact, you were created for eternity. You weren't created for time. That's why God gives you eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what, church? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God reveals himself in the book of Revelation 5 times as the one who is, who was, and is to come, past, present, and future. I want you to notice the tenses of salvation. The Bible tells us that when we call upon the name of the Lord, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13. But it also speaks of salvation in all these tenses, in the past, the present, and the future. For example, if you look there on the past, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. A gift is something that is given to you freely. You don't earn it. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. No one's going to get to heaven and be bragging and say, I made it on my own. No, it is a gift of God. We just came through the Christmas season. Let's pretend for a moment that I showed up at your house and you picked whatever car that you want, and I give you the brand new model, 2020. I pull up in the driveway. I come and I toss you the keys and I say, Merry Christmas. Your pastor's giving you a gift. When you get rid of, you know, hey, he's not really joking. And I said, I swear to you, I'm giving you this as a gift. And you say, fine. And you finally believe me and you take the keys into your hand. And then I just say, now, do you want to write a check for that now, or do you want to make installments over the next 3 years? You realize that's not a gift, is it? If you got to pay for it, it's not a gift. Listen, some of you are truly converted. You have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, but you're living your life right now like you're trying to earn God's favor. That somehow God's holding out to you. You were saved by faith, but he's going to kind of hold out for a while to see whether you're really going to make the cut. And that's not what the Bible talks. If you're saved by God, God says, I have called you my own. But there's a, you know that you're onto something when you have an English teacher that gets real excited about your sermon in the first service. And they came to me, and Laura Watson told me, says, Pastor, it's better than how you preached it. Okay? And here she said something along that lines. She said, when I look at these scriptures, you have been saved. You are being saved. Here's what it talks about. But we who are being saved know that it is the very powerful power of God. And then the Bible also talks about that we're waiting for the salvation yet to be delivered. And she said, Pastor, as I looked at these verses, this past part, it's in the past, present, progressive, perfect tense. Okay? And I'm going to look at Mrs. Blaine here to make sure that I'm saying right what it means. It has happened, but it is happening. It is continuing to go on. So you have been saved, but that's not all that there is to it. It's not just something you hang on your hat in the past and said, I did that. It's something that is happening. It has happened, and it is continuing to happen. She said, and then these tenses that you have where you are being saved, it's in the present progressive. It means that there's still work to be done. And here's what you understand. We are triune beings as well. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're made in his image. We consist of a spirit, of a soul, and a body. Your spirit is what connects you with God. True worshipers of God worship him in spirit and truth. Listen, you can't worship God until your spirit has been enlivened by the Spirit of God. Your spirit was dead to God. And when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God transferred you from the kingdom of darkness, from the domain of darkness, and transferred you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, is what Colossians chapter 1 tells us. Our spirits are alive. Our soul is where our mind, will, and emotions are. That is progressive. It happens. Sometimes we use the word sanctification, progressive sanctification, a setting apart of that. That's what the word sanctification means. And you have thoughts, you know, I've told you this before, when you got saved, you still have the same old memories. You have the same experiences. But part of giving your life to Christ and living your life for him is to allow him to go into the hard places of your life, the things that you didn't have, and begin committing to them. And then you begin to realize that God really doesn't waste the hurt, and that God can use and God can cause bad things that have happened to you for his good and for his glory, and he can work and form your character in your life. You are being saved, and you will be saved. See, we're body as well. Here's what the Bible tells us about our body. You know, your body's a shell. It's going to be done away with. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. The verse is just prior to that. It says, in this earthly tent, in this shell that we have, we groan. We're longing to be clothed with what God is going to give us. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that God is going to give us new bodies. They're going to be glorious bodies. That this is like a seed that's planted in the ground, and you see something different rising up of it. Listen, you can't believe how good my body's going to look in heaven. Right now, it looks like a shell, okay? But in heaven, we're not going to have it. See, here's another way to look at it. It's in your notes here. See, your spirit is saved from the penalty of sin. God paid the price when he judged Jesus for your sin. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, this progressive nature here, will be saved from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6 says, no longer submit the instruments of your body as instruments to sin. Sin no longer has control of you. It's no longer your slave master. You can present your body as an offering to God. You have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us. And our bodies will be glorified when we have the bodies that we're clothed with what he has for us. But I want to really focus on the past. Listen, if you don't understand what God says when you're saved by God, here's how you see at the very bottom of that left column there, here's how God speaks of you. You're forgiven, redeemed, adopted, sanctified, accepted, justified, saved, cleansed, called, chosen, those are all in the past tense, and this is the lens that God sees you. This is why, through the Holy Spirit, Paul can write the letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians was a messed up church. They had ongoing sin in the church. But as Paul begins to write them, he says, to those saints that are called in Christ. Listen, you need to live lives that are worthy of your calling, worthy of your salvation. And here's what I believe. If you and I will understand what the Bible says about salvation, you will have peace in the present and faith in the future. But if you don't understand that you have been saved, are being saved, and will be saved, if you don't believe that you have been saved, you will have pressure in your present and you'll have fear in the future. And you'll find yourself saying, I hope God accepts me. I think I'm going to make it. No, you're not going to make nothing. Listen, you don't get to heaven because you love God. You get to heaven because God loved you and gave his son for you. So let me say this again. If you understand what the Bible says about salvation, you will have peace in the present and faith in the future. And if you don't understand it, if you don't accept it by faith, you will have pressure in your present and fear in the future. Here's what the Bible tells us. Salvation is a goal. It is not a goal to achieve. It is a gift to receive. You couldn't earn your salvation before you got saved, and you can't earn it after you got saved. 1 John 2:25, this is the promise that God himself made to us, eternal life. Couple questions. How long is eternal life? It's forever. When does it start? Starts right now. That's right. It starts right now, according to the Word of God. See, sometimes we think of eternal life that eventually I'm going to step into eternity, but the Bible says you have eternal life now. Let's look at Jesus said it. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, for they have already passed from death into life. So you'll come across and you'll be reading the book of Romans. You'll read Romans chapter 8, verse 1, said, there is now, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How can that be? It's because God did the saving. You didn't save yourself. You couldn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God freely gave it to you. God is just and holy. In his holiness, he can't look upon sin, and in his justice, sin must be punished. So Jesus came. As God, he couldn't sin. As man, he would not sin. And God laid the sins of us all upon him. And because God is just, and he can't sentence two people for the same sin, when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, it was just of God to sentence me and to sentence you to heaven. That's the sentence of God. That is the judgment of God. You have come into heaven. Look at 1 John 5:11 to 13. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has believed in the testimony of God, has not believed in the testimony of God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has, past tense, has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, notice this, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You honor God when you live your life believing by faith that God has saved you and that you know you have eternal life. Now listen, your pastor is far from perfect, but here's what I know. If God's word is true, I have no fear of what eternity is going to look like. Because I know that I am saved according to Jesus and his work. And not because I'm a preacher, not because I try to do good things, not because I give to the church, not because I'm better than most in my eyes, or not as bad as other people, and other people are better than me. Listen, it's not based on my effort. I get to heaven because God loved me and I accepted his love in his Son, Jesus Christ. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, Jesus said. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. The wrath of God abides in him. See, you're going to go out of this world in one of two ways. Either Jesus covering your sin, or you saying, I'm going to have to give account to my sin before God. Listen, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I don't say this lightly, when you meet God, you will have hell to pay. And it's not because God didn't love you, and it's not because God didn't provide a way for you. It's because you did not receive the gift of God. And you say, God, I know, you may say, God, I know you sent your Son. I believe that he died on the cross, but I'm going to do it my way. Listen, my way is away from God. Jesus lived the life we couldn't live, and he died the death that we should have died. Here's a way of understanding. Everything that happened to Jesus physically happened to me spiritually when I believed in Christ. And what I mean by that is when you see the awfulness of the crucifixion, what was God doing during the crucifixion and the beating and the stripes and, you know, the woundedness and Jesus' limpless body hanging on the cross? What was he doing? He was executing God's wrath against your sin and mine. Jesus on the cross because of me and you and the world. And he bore our sins in his body, Peter tells us, and then that body was taken and it was put in the grave. God has buried our sins. If you believe that Jesus did that for you, and if you by faith call upon that, that's what happened to your sins. And when he was buried in the grave, here's what Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. Micah 7:19, I believe it is, says that God's compassion toward us is great. He takes our sin and casts them in the deepest sea. I always liked what Corey Ten Boom said about that. It says, when God forgives our sin, he casts them in the deepest sea, and then he erects a sign that says, no fishing allowed. Satan can't use that. There's a little saying that says, when Satan reminds you of your past, you remind Satan of his future. And it's not I just want you to hear this. It's not enough that you just say, I believe this. You've got to receive it into your life. Listen, here's what the Bible tells us. Satan and his demons believe, and they tremble. They really believe. But they will not submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus didn't come just so you could have your sins forgiven. He didn't just come for that. He came so that you could live for him. Live for the glory of God. That's an ongoing work. Next week, we're going to talk about how God brings sees us after salvation, bringing healing and setting us free to live the life. Listen, you cannot walk with God if you don't see yourself as God sees you. And let's go on. To be saved by God is to experience the exchange life. What do you mean by that? Here's what the Bible clearly lays out. We see it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so we could be made right with God through Christ. God sees you. If you've received salvation, he sees me through the eyes and the work of Christ. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for him. Again, I'll say it again. Salvation is not just God's plan to get you to heaven. It is God's plan for you to live the way that he designed for you to live, to the praise of his glory. And I would be so bold to say this. If your salvation is simply a fire insurance plan, you have reason to question your salvation. If you only come to Christ because you don't want to go to hell at the end of your life, listen, you really don't understand the great salvation that God has for you. God does love you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants you to begin living that life today in the fullness of Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 3:1 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Paul said it this way in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm not going to be afraid of fear or afraid of death. And I hope you heard Pastor Bob. I'll call you my pastor. Okay. Bob Ketterman here. When I said that, he said, amen. He's facing a death sentence in his body right now. But he's living by faith. He's not living by fear. And when the day comes, when you stand over maybe your pastor's body and you see that he is dead, you say, well, Pastor David's dead. I want to tell you, it's a little late. David died a long time ago. I am crucified with Christ. You don't survive crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's what I'm saying. When you're saved by God, you just don't get Christ's life in you. God gets your life. That's the great exchange. Understand, it's a process. There's some things, you know, when I gave God my sins, I wanted to throw them at him. I want to cast your sins upon God. There's some things in my life that God has had to pry out of my hands that were impediment in my walk with him. But listen, I have been saved. And I am being saved, and hopefully you can see some of the outward evidence of what's happening within. But I know one day I will be saved. This body, this mortal body, will put on immortality. And I will be in the presence of God. And here's what it says. I will be like him because I will see him like he is. Now listen, we need to bring this to a close. But let me ask you this. Are you saved? And if you are saved, do you understand that you have been saved by God? And that you're going to confess your doubts and the things that you see of why you are so unworthy and say, God, I'm living by sight, not by faith. You tell me I have been chosen, I have been adopted, I have been called. And I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And your word says, if your word is true, and I believe it's true, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want everyone to close their eyes right now. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But I want you to confess to God right now where you are with God. Have you been saved by living life as a believer in Christ, trying to earn God's favor? Listen, it'll never end. You'll never be good enough to earn salvation. It's a gift. And maybe in your heart today, say, God, I'll just take at your word, and I will receive what you have given for me. And when doubt and fear and wonderment comes in, when sins begin to press me, I will claim the blood of Jesus Christ, who not only saves me from the penalty of sin, but says that the power of sin will come. We'll talk more about that next week, being free from the power of sin in our life. But maybe you're here today and you said, I believed all this stuff, but I've never really confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to just pray it in your heart. Listen, you're not saved by a prayer. You're saved by the intent of your heart, believing and applying and following through on what you pray. But dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I've done many things that don't please you. And I've lived my life for myself, and I'm sorry, and I turn from my sin. And I humbly ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and rose again to save me, and you give me eternal life now. You did what I could not do for myself, and I come to you now, and I ask you to take control of my life. I give my life to you. Help me to live every day in a way that pleases you. I love you, Lord, and I thank you that my sins are forgiven according to your word and that I will spend eternity with you. I pray this in my Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at me just a second. Bible says, after the service, I want you to take your little connection card out. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to do something in response. I'm going to ask you to write your name on it, and you mark on the back, today I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what will happen is one of the pastors will call you this week, and we'll rejoice with you. We don't have a plan to, you know, to do something with your life now. We just want to rejoice with you. It's important that you confess to others that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And likewise, if you've been here and you have heard this before and this is old news to you, but you know that you have been living not with the assurance of salvation, I want you to write your name on there and say, today I'm going to live something to the effect that you're living in the salvation that God has given you. And I want you to hand it to me, or Pastor Rosvon will be up here at the front of the sanctuary at the close of the service. We're getting ready to pray and have closing prayer. He'll be up here. And if you'd like him to pray with you about a specific area in your life, he will be here. We planned for this. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Today is for you to anchor your salvation by faith in the God who came to you. It's important what you do next. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have been washed. We have been cleansed. We have been set apart according to your word, as 1 Corinthians 6:11, and now we can live for your glory. And Father, I thank you for the faith that has been exhibited right now. I pray that you would give courage to take the next step for those that have asked you to be their Lord and Savior today for the first time, or those that said, I'm recommitting my life to Christ. And then, Lord, we are excited about the life that you have for us. Your plan is good. You believe in the work of your Son and what you can bring about in our life. And Lord, help us to see not only that we're saved, but in the coming weeks, how we have been, our souls can be healed, our mind, our will, and emotions, and how we can be set free to live for the glory of God. We live for the praise of your glory. Thank you, Father, for your incredible love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.